We got most of our stuff moved this past week, but it has been some long, long days. So I'm ready for all that moving stuff to be done. Tired of moving equipment. We made, I think, 17 trips with a flatbed truck and 20-something trips with a U-Haul. There's a lot of stuff in 5,000 square feet. I didn't even know you could put that much stuff in there. Made that 30,000 square foot building look small all of a sudden. But it's almost done, so all that is getting closer to the end, and I am very glad of it. We're going to continue our study this morning on renewing your mind, renewing your mind. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Told you this week we would talk about the weapons that we use for the warfare that we're in with our mind. Last week we had a pretty good lesson just talking more about engaging. You have to engage. Sometimes that's necessary to actually engage when you're dealing with the things in your mind, when you're going battling back and forth. You have to actually step up and say, I'm going to take charge and I'm going to do something about the situation that I'm in. But to do that, you got to kind of know how to fight it, right? 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The lies we believe are strongholds. Paul tells us the weapons we fight with destroy strongholds. Now, a stronghold is a fortified place. That's what that word means. It's something that is set up in place to be able to block from enemies. When you think about wars going on, they would have a stronghold set up place. I kind of look at it like this. You've seen the old castles and stuff, and they had the big drawbridges, right? That's kind of like a stronghold. That bridge goes up. When there was a war, there was something going to happen. They didn't want anybody to get in. They put the stronghold back up to stop the enemy. You see, a lot of times in our life, that's exactly what we do. We actually take the strongholds and we put them back up. We think that it's a safe place to be, right? You believe in your mind and you get in your mind all these different things going on and they're playing tricks with your mind and the devil's sitting there trying to get in there and corrupt you, make you feel less of a person than what you were, because that's what he does. He tries to tear you down piece by piece by piece. So in this place, you sit there and you bring up these strongholds, right? And you try to block all that stuff in. And into a place, into a bad situation, what you'll do is you'll take this thing and you'll close it up, but you'll close in the lies. You ever thought about that? When you put the stronghold up, the lies are in there with you. So you become to the place where you actually believe what is going on. So when you say, I can't do this, or the devil says, hey, you're not equipped for this, you'll actually begin to believe it all the time. You sit there and say, well, my family's been this way for years and years and years. And, you know, there's a lot of truth to some of that stuff. You look at statistics. I can't say that word. Statistics. I get it in a minute. You look at all that and you get to see how families, they work out kind of the same. You ever looked at all that? You sit there and you see a family go by and they have a problem with this or a problem with that, and you see the next generation does it and the next generation does it and the next generation does it, right? Does that mean it has to be that way? No. It's the mindset that they have. It is the mindset that the devil has created saying, hey, you can't get out of this situation. It's inevitable that it's going to happen to you, whatever it is. Whatever it is. You're just like your mom and your dad. You're going to be just like your grandparents. You're going to be just like your great-grandparents. You can't get out of it. That's not how it works, folks. You can break down the strongholds, but you have to know how to break down the strongholds. Paul compared the lies we believe to those fortresses. Like the walls of the strongholds, our lies have been reinforced to make them stronger. We have believed them so long that we have become a part. They have become a part of us. We believe they protect us. We think nothing can break them down, yet they often keep the truth from us. So how do we tear down the strongholds in our lives? We've got to have God's help. We cannot do this on our own. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 19, the Bible says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, for above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and that hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." Do you realize how big God is? Like, have you really thought about how big God is? Has anybody? Just, have you ever just sat back and just thought how big He is? How mighty He is? How strong He is? How great He is? Man, I sit back and think about it pretty regularly. I just sit down and I'm just like, just thinking on God. Not all the situations you got going on, okay? Put the situations aside every once in a while. Because I know we all got those, okay? And they can make God seem like maybe He's not there all the time. Maybe He doesn't care about me. But I'm here to tell you right now, God's big enough to take care of all of them. It says we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, all these different things, right? But what's it say? He's got dominion over everything. Everything. He has dominion over it all. Not just some of it. Every bit of it. He's that powerful. You ever thought about this? He created everything, right? He created everything. Even the devil himself. Kind of hard to wrap your mind around that now, ain't it? It's hard to wrap my mind around that sometimes. But you see, He's God and He's in control. God also gives you a free will to do things that you want to do, right? That's kind of hard to wrap your mind around too. That's hard for me to wrap my mind around. Why would God give me the free will to just choose certain things? Because God loves you that much. He wanted to have a relationship with you because you wanted to have a relationship with Him. You think about it. Adam and Eve walking in the garden, right? First people ever created. They're walking around the garden. And in the cool of the day, what would happen? God would come down, He'd talk to them, right? He'd ask them questions about what they did, what was going on, how they were. Do you think He didn't know? Do you think He didn't know? He knew what was going on. He knew what they had done all day long. But He chose to have a relationship with them. You see, I sit back and you think about your wife, right? My wife knows I've been moving for the past, seems like 10 years. For the past 3 or 4 days, it's been really rough. But she knows I've been going to work. I've been moving equipment. I know she's been at home taking care of kids. And if I just know that, we have no communication, right? If I don't go and say, "Hey, how was your day?" Which I probably didn't do very well this week. But how was your day? How was your week going? If she doesn't sit there and say, "Hey, what did you do today?" She knows what I did today. It's just communicating. She knows I moved stuff. She doesn't even know what I'm talking about half the time. I called Brother Scott this week and he knows all the printers and stuff I talk about. I'm like, somebody at least understands what I'm talking about when I talk about a printer. It's so comforting sometimes because Leslie just looks at me. She's just like, yeah, yeah. She knew. But she's right there. Why? Because she's trying to communicate. She's trying to have a relationship with me. She's trying to be interested in something I'm interested in. Or she's trying to be helpful in the situation that I'm going through. Jesus Christ wants to have a relationship with you like that. If you want to change your mindset, you've got to understand, you've got to have a relationship with Him. What we talked about last week, it's hard to have a relationship with somebody you don't know. You know, you don't just go pick your wife up. I mean, some places they do, but we don't do that here. You don't just walk up and say, "That's my wife." And that's just, it's over. It's not how that works. You have to go on a date, right? Some of y'all are like, "No." Y'all done forgot about it, I understand. It's how it works. You had to go on a date, and you had to ask them out, and you had to go through the process, right? You had to go through all the process. You had to go through all the stuff. You had to sit there and try to give them nice presents and woo them and all that good stuff, right? And then eventually, you get to ask them to marry you, right? And then you forget about all that stuff that you did, and you don't work for it anymore. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's what we do, because we're sorry husbands. That's what we do. There. I apologize. You want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you got to know who He is. He's the one who died on the cross for your sins. He's the one who paid the debt that you could never pay. You have to have a relationship with Him. To have a real change of mind, you got to know who He is. And you got to try to actually keep the relationship going. It don't just stop. Once you get saved, it doesn't stop there. That's when it starts. We have a tendency to do that a lot. You get saved and you're on fire for God and you go and you go and you go for about 6 months. Why? Because it's new, right? It feels good. The weight of the world comes off of you. It doesn't mean your problems go away, but the weight of the world kind of lifts up. You can remember it. You ought to think about it. If you've been saved for a long time, go back to that day and how it felt that day when you got up and said, "You know what? He saved my soul from a burning hell." And how that weight lifts off of you and how it kind of goes away and everything just seems different. You can kind of look at things differently. For the first time in your life, things are changed. But then about 6 months later, a year later, it's just a routine, right? You just do your thing. You quit reading the Bible. Amen? I've been there. I'm not telling you something I haven't done myself, okay? You don't pray as much anymore. Why? Because God's over here. He said He'd take care of me. And that's where you put Him. But then you wonder why everything falls apart over here when you're trying to hold on to it and fix it. You ever thought about it? Everything's falling apart, but yet I left God over there because He said He'd never leave me, forsake me. If I need Him, I'll go get Him. He might say, "You know what? You made the bed, you can lay in it too." You say, "God wouldn't do that." Oh, but He would do that. He would do that, and He can do that. And it's not to be mean. He's going to help you in the next step. But you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, a true relationship with Him. You have to want Him. Never thought about that? You have to want Him. I've been going through this stuff, this whole study, and man, it has opened up my whole thinking on my relationship with just my wife. Because I don't do a very good job of that. We've been married 12 years? Yes. I knew I'd get it right. It's only going to get worse, right? I had to look it up on my phone before I got up here. 12 years. 12 years, and I've done a horrible job of treating her right all those 12 years. I've had my moments. Because we've all had our moments, right? But you know, she's supposed to be the most important thing on this earth to me. She's not more important than God. But she's supposed to be the most important thing in this little life we've got, right? Do you actually cherish the one God gave you? Should. That's a good one. You should. Because God gave them to you. You got to ask somebody, Andy. You got to ask somebody. You might need to go get you one of them ones you pick. I'm going to get off of that. I'm sorry. You know, I love that thing that says you can have fun in church. I really like that little article you put in the bulletin. I like that. Because we have probably too much fun in church sometimes. But you got to have a relationship with Him. And going through these studies, thinking about changing your mindset on things that God's done for you, man, it makes you really sit back and go, how important is God to you truly? I sit there and think about this war and how big God is and how great He is. And then I get to thinking about how we're going to fight the battle. How can we fight the battle? And in Ephesians chapter 6, and we've preached on it before, but in verse 12 it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's what we're wrestling against. And then it goes through a list of things that you've got to put on. And then it gets down into verse 17. It says, "Take up the helmet of salvation." You've got to have that first. You've got to take the helmet of salvation first. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you want to fight the devil, you've got to have the right weapon. You've got to have the right weapon. You see, you put on the helmet of salvation. What is that? That's being saved. That's accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You put on the helmet of salvation. Now you can go to war, right? Now you can fight. Now you can start to change your mind for once. And get your mind on the things of God. The only thing that's going to fix all the problems you've got in life is God. Then you've got to pick up the weapon. You've got to pick up that Bible. And you've got to read it. And you've got to study it. And you got to know it. Why? Because He's coming. And you don't fight Him just like this. He don't fight like that. And He don't fight fair. Devil don't fight fair. He never has. You got to pick up that sword. You got to pick up the Word of God, and you've got to know what you believe and why you believe it. Why? Because He's going to throw a lot of stuff at you constantly. And the only way you're going to be able to go back with Him is the Word of God. You know, you sit there and think about how does that work. Well, didn't He take Jesus up on that mountain? You remember that story? Yeah, y'all been to church long enough. You remember that story, right? What did Jesus Himself use? The Word of God, didn't He? He quoted Scripture at Him, didn't He? He quoted Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. How do you think you're going to go against the devil? When everything goes in your mind and goes wrong, what do you think about? How you're going to fix it, right? Come on, get real. How you going to fix it? First thing pops in your mind, what am I going to do now? What if the first thing popped in your mind was a Bible verse? Would that change things? Wouldn't that change things if you were that close to God that when everything fell apart in your life, you could sit there and a verse would come to your mind? I've told you before, memorizing verses is difficult the older you get. It's very difficult. And it doesn't mean that you should stop trying. It just gets more difficult. And I know that, and I'm only 35. Just imagine when I get to be Brother Tim's 100 and something age, you know? You hadn't been here, brother. I had to pick on you. I mean, it gets worse. My dad tells me all the time. He used to go through Bible school, and he would take his he would take these little cards. He'd write his verses down that he had to memorize for Bible school, and he'd put them in the dash of his 18-wheeler. Probably not safe, but that's what he did. He kept his cards on that dash, and he could see the top part of the speedometer. He said he always knew if he was going too fast. He said they got regulators; they're fine anyways. So he'd sit there and he'd put the card up there, and he'd sit there and when he'd drive, and he could look down at that verse and he'd see little clips of that verse, and that's how he'd memorize verses. However you have to do it, do it. And they're all good. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable. Every bit of it. You can't go wrong. We've talked about it before. What's one of your favorite chapters to read in the Bible? Or Psalms. Psalms and Proverbs. Favorite book to read, Psalms and Proverbs. You ever thought about picking some of them out and just memorizing them? Why? Because they can encourage you in a very bad place. Now, there's plenty of other ones you can go to. But Psalms and Proverbs can help you in some really bad places. I was going to preach on Psalms 102 today. I'm not going to. Changing my mind. Or sleep deprivation or something did. Something changed my mind. I was going to preach on Psalms 102 because you sit there and think about Psalms 102. And I'm going to preach on Psalms 100 instead because of something somebody said at work this past week. And it really just was like, bam. But I sit there and think about Psalms 102 and how everything in Psalms 102 seems to be, it kind of breaks down a little differently. It's not all the joy of singing and having a song in your heart. Psalms 102 is a lot more of a heartache thing. There's some trouble going on in Psalms 102. But you know, sometimes you need to see what somebody else has been through to understand how to come out of it. Because Psalms 102 may be a little bit different, may be a little bit more sad and a little more dark, but Psalms 100 was good, uplifting. Psalms 101 was uplifting. And guess what? Psalms 103 is too. You see, you saw somebody come from a hilltop to a valley to a hilltop, right? We always talk about that a lot. You know, you're always in those places. Either you're going into the valley or you're coming out of the valley. See, we always talk about the mountaintops being where it's at. Like, you always want to be on the mountaintop, right? Everybody wants to be on top of the mountain. But the problem is, if you're going up, you're going to be there eventually, but it ain't going to take you very long before you start heading back down again. You better learn how to live in the valley. Because the valley is where you stay the majority of the time, unfortunately. A lot of the reason why you stay in the valley is because your mindset's wrong. I believe we could get through the valleys a lot quicker. A whole lot quicker. If we put God first in our life. You change the way that you think about things. You try to tear down some of those strongholds that are in your life and actually try to put God first and let God handle the situations. You cannot defeat what you cannot define. You must identify the lie that has become a stronghold for you. You must realize the negative impact it's had on you and others. Your problems don't just affect you. They affect everybody around you. How are you going to handle it when those problems come up? How do you deal with them? You know, you can go through a really bad situation, but you can find some kind of good in that situation. I've had bad times in my life where I was at low points in my life, but I get to see some of the good in it too. You know those times when you think you've lost everything, but then somebody gets saved in that situation? When somebody's gone and you don't understand why, and then God shows you sometime later what the reason was? You know, God may be using your situation to be able to help somebody down the road. I think about my father-in-law, Brother Howard. That was a hard man. Leslie can attest to that. Brother Howard and Leslie's mom got divorced when you were 6 months old, right? Just before you was a year. So, they got divorced. And it was a pretty bad situation, and he ended up marrying Miss Muffy. That's my stepmother-in-law. And Brother Howard and Miss Muffy, that's what I knew growing up. But I sit there and think about all the situation that took place and all the stuff that goes on with all that situation, and Leslie could tell you the stories of all that better than I can and how she's dealt with some of that stuff. But I sit back and I think about the situation, and I see how God did still work in the situation. Why? Because it brought Brother Howard to Victory Baptist Church, where he learned about the Word of God. And I know he had went to church at other places and gotten saved years in advance to that, but ended up at Victory and learned more about the Word of God. And he was able to stay in church and get in church and ultimately brought Leslie to Victory. And that's where I met her. Amen. Well, no comment needed, brother. Brought Leslie to church. And it got Leslie out of a lot of situations she was dealing with at the time. And taught her more about her Bible. She was already saved, but she learned more about the Word of God and what she believed and why she believed it. And we could sit there and say it was a horrible situation. And yes, in a lot of ways it was a horrible situation. But there was a whole lot of good that came out of that situation. She knows what she believes and why she believes it because of that situation. Could God have worked it out a different way? Yes, He could have, but He didn't. So you make the best out of a bad situation, right? You move on. And you just let God keep directing your path. You just keep letting God just open up a door and open up a door and open up a door. Why? Because somewhere down the road you might need that. Then guess what? Another thing happens years down the road. My sister goes through some stuff. My sister goes through some stuff and it hurts and it's hard to deal with. But she's been through it. She's seen it. Guess what? She's able to at least sit there and say, you might need to think about this. You might need to look at this situation. You might need to look at what you're saying right here. Why? Because she's already lived that life. She knows what it needs to look like. You see, she's able to help somebody because of the situation that she went through. And she may say, well, they don't always listen. They may not always listen, but guess what? At least you're trying to help. You're faithful to it. You're just trying to be a blessing to somebody. You have to understand, just because it's a bad situation doesn't mean it has to stay bad. Sometimes there's some good in it. If you want to truly change your life, you cannot just change your behavior. If you change your actions, for a while the original issue will, after a while, the original issue will reestablish itself. That's why being saved by grace has never been about behavior modification. It's about life transformation. Think about that. You don't just get saved for just a little while. You don't just get saved over here just for just a period of time to get out of a situation, right? Because you can modify. You can look Christian. Amen. You can look real Christian. You can put on everything. You can come to church week after week after week after week. You can be faithful Sunday school, Sunday morning, Wednesday night. You can do the whole thing. Every revival, you can sit right there. You can sing in the choir. You can lead the music. You can preach the sermons. You can do the Sunday schools. But if it's just the outward side, it'll eventually fall. It's got to be a heart thing. It's a life transformation. God will change your life forever. Forever. There's two things I want you to think about this week, and we're almost done. Two things I want you to think about this week. I don't have some big thought audit. Amen. You're glad of that, right? It's not really a lot of homework. I just want you to think about it. I want you to write it down. I want you to think about it this week. We all deal with stuff, right? And I'm trying to get people to where they'll actually get their mindset on things of God. That's been my whole goal for a year now, is just to get people to put God first in their life. I want you to think about two things. One is, what is your stronghold? I want you to write it down, and I want you to go home, and I want you to truly think about, what is your stronghold? What do you put up? What is it that entraps everything? I want you to think about it, and I want you to write it down. And do it kind of like I did it. I didn't just walk in the house and say, what's my stronghold? That's it. I thought about it for a few days. I pondered on it a little bit. And I actually wrote down a real answer. When you write down real answers, you'll get real change. If you don't write down real answers, you won't get real change, okay? The next thing is, what lie is holding you hostage? Because there's one out there. And I'm here to tell you right now, I don't really care if you think you got it all together. If you sit back and think about it, you'll find one. Every single one of us will find one. You know, I'm the preacher. Supposed to have it all together, right? Amen. Hogwash. I ain't got it all together. I do the same stuff you do. I go through the same things you go through. I deal with the same problems you deal with. So when I wrote these answers down, I actually took time to actually think about them. And there is a lie usually that's holding you hostage, something that just keeps you in a bad place, in a bad state of mind. Find out what it is. Because if you can define it, then you can fix it. But you have to know what it is first. I hope that you've gotten something out of the Word of God this morning. I hope that you've had a good time at Sunday school. Brother Scott, will you close us out in a word of prayer, please?